Greg, you know what? You just totally destroyed my wife and my daughter and my son. You said that I wasn't perfect, and I've had them fool all these years. Look how distraught they are, really, you know. Yeah. Lord knows I'm not perfect. That is for sure. But, you know, praise God, we don't have to be perfect, just forgiven. Amen? Amen. That's exactly what we got to be. But anyway, if you want to turn to Philippians, the second chapter, we're going to read down through a few verses. But I got a little story to tell you before we get into the sermon part of it. I was listening to Dr. David Jeremiah there on one of his sermons he preached here just a while back. And he was talking about that he's out on the road all the time. He went to a place where he's going to be preaching. I believe it was in Atlanta. And he said when he got there, he said they come to him and said, "Man, there's this man that's wanting to meet you." He said he really wants to meet you. So he said that he went down to where this guy was at. And he said, so he finally got down there to him. Said this guy, he said he had real long hair, had a ponytail down. And he said he got to talking to him. And he said, "Brother Jeremiah," he said, "you know what?" He said, "I just want to tell you that I found the Lord, and I want to tell you how that I did it." He was going to commit suicide. He said he was in his car. And he said that his life had been messed up. And he said that he got in his car and he said he'd been planning on how he was going to do it. He said he was lived down this road. And he said as he went around the bend, he said there was this huge tree. And he said, "I was going to just drive into that tree as fast as I could. I wasn't going to wear no seatbelt. I wasn't going to do nothing." He said, "I was going to hit that tree just as much as I could." He said when he got into his car, he said that he got in the car and he turned the radio on. He said he liked listening to rock and roll. And he said he turned it up as loud as he could turn it. He said he wanted to listen to that as he's going to get ready to do away with himself. He said his radio went out. He said he got so mad. He said he took his fist and he just hit the dash of the radio of the car. And he said the radio went to In Touch with Dr. Jeremiah. And it said that during that time, he said it talked to him. Said about if you're at a low ebb in your life, he said you need Jesus. And he said he turned the car off and he accepted the Lord. And you know, he said he went there that night and he told Dr. Jeremiah. He said, "Listen," he said, "I was going to kill myself." This is a true story. This isn't something that he made up or anything like you were talking about, Bobby. He said, "I was going to do it." He said, "When I hit that dash," he said, "it went to that station." He said, I knew. He said, I set up and I took notice. And he said, the Lord saved him right there in his car. That was his altar, Greg. That car was his altar. And you know what? I don't know where yours is at. I've noted people to get saved in plants, down in the basement of plants. The old gentleman I knew for years got saved in the basement of a plant. And he said when he got down on his knees, he said the water was coming up, the pumps had shut off. He said, "I got saved." And you know, it doesn't matter where your altar's at. Your altar could be at your home. Your altar could be at your work. It may not be, but you know what? Praise God, you will come to the point one of these days where you will need that altar. Amen? You're going to need it. Well, anyway, I'm over in Philippians, the second chapter. I'm going to read down through a few, starting with the first verse. I'm going to read down through a few verses of it. "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus." Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart one more time to be able to stand up here behind the sacred desk, Lord. I pray, Father, that the hearts and minds of those here, Lord, would be touched. And Lord, if there's any here, Lord, that needs this message this morning, Lord, I pray that you would continue to deal with them about it, Lord. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the glory, for we ask it all in your name. And amen. And amen. Back in 1989, and that kind of sounds strange to say back in 1989. I remember when I was growing up, they used to say back in 1950 or back in the 1930s or whatever they used to say. And here I'm saying back in 1989. There was a youth leader at a church in Michigan by the name of Janie Tinklenburg. Have any of you ever heard of her? She wanted something to help her teen group. She wanted to help them to remember the words of Jesus. especially when they were being confronted in struggles of daily life. She in the situations that they had to handle, she wanted something and she kept praying about something. She finally came up, the Lord had given her an idea about it. After reading a book by a guy by the name of Charles Sheldon, she read this book, and you know when this book was written? It was written back in the 1800s. So she encouraged her youth class, and she came up with it. She encouraged her youth class to keep this simple little message in mind. And she was trying to figure out how that she could get them to do it. So she decided she would make up something that where they could wear. So she came up with a wristband. So, and if any of you know what I'm talking about this morning, it's the same thing that Chuck mentioned this morning. What would Jesus do? And the name of the book was In His Steps, What Would Jesus Do? That was the name of the book that Charles Sheldon had written many, many years ago. Since it was so big to put on a bracelet, so that's whenever she abbreviated it. And she made it WWJD. And you know what? The rest of it's history. We know, most of you in here know what I'm talking about. You've seen it. You've heard about it. And they say, you know, how ingenious and how cute would that be with WWJD on it? Millions of dollars of merchandise was spent. Millions of dollars. As a matter of fact, I remember seeing about a bracelet one time that was $400 that had this on it. I'm sure there were some who bought these bumper stickers, who bought these book Bible covers, these T-shirts, these jewelry, and whatever else was had that logo on it just because it was popular at the time. Without fully understanding what it means, what would Jesus do? Right? What would Jesus really do? The real message of it got lost to a lot of people. Well, starting this morning and over the next few weeks, I'm going to try to do a series, on what would Jesus do also, but also on some other abbreviated terms that we have talked about, or maybe you've heard, and maybe you haven't. But I'm going to try to do that starting this morning, starting with WWJD. You know, when we look at God's Word and what Jesus would really have done in situations, let's look at some of these situations this morning and let's take them into account. You know what? It's fine to wear the bracelet. It's fine to have the shirt. It's fine to have the bumper sticker. But when the rubber meets the road, would we do what Jesus did? Amen? And that's what it really matters. Would we do what our Lord and Savior did? Would we be able to stand up and do that this morning? When others need our help, I want to ask you this morning. When others need our help, you know, when others needed Jesus' help, what did Jesus do? Whenever others need our help, what should we do this morning? We live in a world where so many struggle. Where so many are struggling just to make ends meet. This is what directed me in this sermon. I had someone tell me down through the week, we were in our Bible school down through the week, there was a young child that came there this week, and at snack time, this young child came to them, and they told them, that, you know what, that's pretty much all the food that they had had all day long. That's all the food that they had had all day long. Now, I want you to think about that. That snack was all they had. Now, folks, I don't know how or why this child didn't have any food, but I'm going to tell you what. It absolutely tore my heart out whenever I heard it. Do you understand that? Because you know what? I have no problem going to my refrigerator and opening up the God has blessed me, and I don't care if I get a piece of bologna out of there. You know what? I thank Him for that bologna or whatever I eat out of that refrigerator He has given me. You know what? I have no idea why this child didn't have no food. Maybe mommy or daddy are trying their best and maybe ends just couldn't meet. I don't know. Maybe they're selling their food stamps or whatever they get. Maybe they're doing that to buy whatever with it. I don't know. But the question I offer you this morning, and I want you to think about this morning, in a situation like that, what would Jesus do? Do you feel this morning that Jesus would be judgmental? Do you feel this morning that Jesus would, suppose He would just turn a blind eye and suppose He would just let someone else take care of it? I want you to read with me in Matthew 25, verses 41 through 45, please. This is what Jesus said. This, if you had a red letter Bible, this is in your Bible. This is in red. Matthew 25, starting with verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, I want you to listen to this. Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these. Did you get that? Ye did it not to me. Then shall he be answering them, saying, I'm going to say it again. I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteousness unto eternal life. I want you to understand something, folks. Whether it's that little child, whether it's somebody out here that's living on the street, and we don't take care and don't try to love and don't try to find out what's going on. Jesus is telling us if we don't help them, we're not helping him either. Amen? That's what he's saying. What you want to know? You want the bracelet on? What would Jesus do? I'll tell you what Jesus would do. Jesus would try his best. He wouldn't have to try his best. He would do it, right? He would do it. I want to give you a promise from God's Word this morning. It's in Proverbs 28:27. And this is a promise to everybody in here that calls herself a Christian this morning, that believes in God's Word. Proverbs 28:27. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. Did you get that? He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. But he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. That's a promise. That's in God's Word. There's lots of promises in there. You know what? My Bible tells me that Jesus was the Word. Jesus knew these scriptures that I'm talking about this morning. He knew that one right there. And I guarantee you, he knew what it was. And I guarantee you, he knows what he's talking about. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. Number two, what about the undesirable people we know and come in contact with, or maybe the ones whose lives aren't quite up to our standards? You suppose he would be judgmental and mean-spirited to them? Do you suppose Jesus would be that way to them? You suppose Jesus would shun them and not want anything to do with them? Again, turn with me to Luke 14, 16 through 24. Luke 14, 16 through 24. Then said he unto them, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them what that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent begin to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, I must need go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and shewed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, yet there is more room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these which were bidden shall taste of my supper. You know what? Whenever Jesus is telling us that, man, he's not wanting anybody left out. Am I right? He's not wanting anyone, not one individual, no matter what we may think of them, no matter what we may say or what in our minds, in our mind's eye, we like to think about people. Jesus never looked at people like that, Greg. He never did. He said, compel. He said, go. When he was talking, he said, go in everywhere and compel them to come into my house. Man, I'll tell you what. What would Jesus do? Jesus did that. Jesus went. He went to everyone. He tried to get as whosoever will. Isn't that awesome? He said, you know, what about the people like the woman taken in adultery? What about Zacchaeus or the woman at the well or the homeless? I could go on and on and on. Jesus had compassion. He had concern for every one of them, no matter how steeped in sin their lives were. Jesus Christ's blood can cover. Amen? Amen. His blood can cover. That's what Jesus would do. You know what? And that should be to us. He told us in the Great Commission. He told us to go out into the world and go into the world baptizing and preaching in the name, in His name, to draw them into His house. I don't care where they're at. Matthew 7:12 is the golden rule. The golden rule. Am I right? Matthew 7:12 says, it says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That is the golden rule. Amen. And you know what? Right there is something. Amen. All of us should live by that this morning. From me, like Greg said, from me on down to whoever you think, whatever. We all should live by that rule. Praise God that I want to do unto others as I would have them do unto me. Man, wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be, if I treated you just exactly the same way that I want you to treat me? Would there be any trouble in this world? If we live by the golden rule, everybody in this church, everybody out here in the world, if we live by that rule, how awesome would this world be? How do you want to be treated? Listen to how you want to be treated this morning. You want to be treated awesome, don't you? You want to treat your, that's right. Treat others like she wants to be treated. I want to be treated awesome. You want to be treated awesome. Praise God this morning. Well, our lives would be so much better if we do that. You know, if it's not for the grace of God. You know what I say sometimes? There are times in my life I know I see things going on. If not for the grace of God, there go I. Amen? You know what? If I had not come to know Him as my Savior, I'll tell you what, I don't know what my life would be like this morning, but I guarantee you it wouldn't be like it is right now. Though for the grace of God, there go I. Number three. What would Jesus, would you think Jesus would hold a grudge this morning? Let me ask you that this morning. Would Jesus hold a grudge? You know what? We all get frustrated at times. We are a church family. We are a church family here. Maybe some of you that haven't been going here very long, listen to me. Do you think every one of us in here get along 100% of the time, all the time? We don't. But praise God, we are Christians. We love one another. We are our family. And you know what? As families, you go through this. You work through things. What would Jesus do? We all get frustrated. You might get frustrated with me at times. I'm sure there are people in here that have got frustrated with me. But you look at what Paul said in verse 3. He said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Like I was talking about, I was listening to there a little bit. You know what? If we would esteem others better than we do our own selves, man, again, what an awesome, don't you do anything for selfish purposes? Praise God, we shouldn't do anything for selfish purposes, but with humility and think of others that are better than ourselves sometimes. I'll tell you what, that is something that human beings, we don't think of it that way, do we? There are times we don't think, hey, but you know what, I wouldn't do that. I'm not like that, listen to me. Listen to me, as I said a little bit ago, thus for the grace of God, there go I. Thus for the grace of God, there go I. Because you know what? I can remember what I was like before the Lord saved me. I know what I was like. I know what He brought me from. And I tell you nothing this morning, but praise His name this morning. Praise Him. Instead of each person watching out for their own good. Instead of each person watching out for their own good, watch out for the betters of others. How could it even be possible? How could that even, doesn't that just run counter to what this world is about today? This world is all for themselves sometimes. This world is all, you take care of yourself today. You do for your own self today. What is Paul saying in verse 5? He said, let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. You want, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? He come to be a servant. The scripture says, the God in the flesh. Did you ever comprehend that for 1 minute? God come down in the form of a human in flesh, and he come down to be a servant to us. Can we even comprehend that in the slightest? Can we even comprehend that in the slightest? I don't know sometimes if we do. Let this mind be in you also, which is in Jesus, which was in Christ Jesus. Paul knew he couldn't. Paul knew that he couldn't be that way without the love of Christ in his heart. And I'm here this morning to tell you, you cannot either without Jesus Christ being in your heart, because we as human beings are so much, we are just naturally selfish sometimes. We're just naturally selfish. You know what our first inclination is when someone does us wrong? We want to get them back. Am I right? We want to get them back. It's usually not thinking of their well-being. You know what? When somebody does us wrong, you know, we're not trying to say, well, let me help you down the steps. We're trying to push. Uh-huh. Amen or oh my, are we not? That's our first. But you know what the Bible tells us? To have the mind of Christ. And I believe, listen to me, you don't have to go no further than whenever he was on the cross. Whenever he was on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Isn't that the mind of Christ? You know what? Sometimes I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm here this morning to tell you, you know what? And then what did they do after? If you read the scripture right after that, they went ahead and mocked him. Right after that, they went ahead and did the things, you know, if he be the Son of God, let him come down off the cross. They did all manner of things like that. And you know what? He still loved them. And he loves us more. He didn't hold no grudge. Praise God this morning. You know what? What do we have to hold grudges about this morning? What do? If Jesus Christ has saved you, and as the scripture says, we talked about it a little bit ago, hey, listen, we've got a place where we're going. Not only our walk with him, which is great, we can have that walk with him daily, but praise God, I'm looking forward to that place one of these days where there'll be no more heartaches, where there'll be no more of this nonsense down here, and praise God, you know what? We can go to do what? To be with him forever and ever and ever and ever. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing this morning? You know what? Some people will say, well, you know what? Surely Jesus will let us get even. You know, right? Won't he let us get even? We know from Matthew 5:38 it said this. Jesus said this. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He said, you've heard it said. That, I can agree with that. That's what I'm talking about right there. That's what I mean right there. You know, maybe this, well, what would Jesus do? Stuff's not so bad after all. But you got to read the next verse. And it says this, but I say unto you, if you have that kind of mindset, you resist not evil. Right? You resist not evil. And he goes on to say, if someone does you me wrong, we're going to have a different kind of mindset without Jesus in our life. Amen? We're just going to do it. We need him there. We need him daily. Then Jesus said, and I want to read this because I think this is so important. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also, when they derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. Man, talk about thinking of others. And I get mad sometimes because someone says something wrong about me. I get mad sometimes because someone disagrees with me. And my Savior hung on a cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I got to say, Lord, forgive me, for I don't know what I do sometimes. Amen? And that's what we should be saying. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Wear the bracelet. That's fine. You know, if Chuck give them out, wear those bracelets, that's fine. But remember, there's more to it than just that little initials on that bracelet. There's a whole lot more of a meaning to it than just that, right? Think about it. Whenever we go about our daily walk each day and we come up against situations, really stop and think, what would Jesus do? Would he have me get mad? Would he have me? Would he have me fly off the handle? Would he have me do this? Would he have me? What would Jesus do? Praise God this morning. What would he do? They come and get a song.